From WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. It's Friday, December 11th. Coming up, a pair of researchers is collecting pandemic birth stories from across the country. We'll learn more from Side Effects Public Media in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. Governor J.B. Pritzker's administration is sending Illinois National Guard medical staff to assist with coronavirus testing and screening at three of the state's four veterans' homes. This comes as 33 residents at the LaSalle Veterans Home have died of COVID-19 in the last month after a widespread outbreak at the facility. Hannah Meisel has more.
The National Guard staff will help out with testing and data tracking at the LaSalle facility, where more than a quarter of residents have died and nearly 90% tested positive for the virus in November. The virus's spread among residents has stopped, but more than three dozen of them are still sick. Earlier this week, Pritzker fired the facility's administrator and put its head of nursing on administrative leave, pending an investigation into the outbreak.
Here in Illinois, we will leave no stone unturned in our efforts to safeguard our most vulnerable, especially those who lived to serve.
National Guard staff will also be sent to the veterans' homes in Manteno and Quincy, where there are more than 50 active COVID-19 cases between infected residents and staff. Two veterans at that home have died. I'm Hannah Meisel.
Governor J.B. Pritzker's office last week announced the 50 counties in Illinois that would be first in line for vaccine distribution for healthcare workers, those with the highest death rates from COVID-19. But missing from that list are four central Illinois counties with big regional hospitals, including Champaign. Those hospitals have done the bulk of work caring for COVID-19 patients in intensive care. Now a handful of rural counties are giving up their allocated vaccine shares to those bigger counties. Illinois Department of Public Health Director Ngozi Ezike says the agency is facilitating the reallocation.
The methodology was chosen, and then the data team identified which counties that would be. And then after we see the counties, then we try to identify the hospitals that would be in those counties, and then we see that some of those counties don't actually have hospitals.
The U.S. Food and Drug Administration's Vaccine Advisory Panel last night formally recommended the agency approve drug company Pfizer's COVID vaccine. Illinois could see its first shipment of 109,000 vaccine doses as early as next week. The Illinois Department of Public Health yesterday announced more than 11,000 additional COVID-19 cases across the state. 196 more Illinoisans have died from the virus since Tuesday. The state's 7-day average positivity rate is 9.5%, down slightly from Wednesday. 88 additional Champaign County residents have tested positive for the virus, and there are currently more than 1,000 active cases within the county limits. County health officials also announced one additional death. There are currently 15 county residents hospitalized with the virus. Carle Foundation Hospital in Urbana, which serves the broader region, is currently treating 83 COVID patients, 22 of whom are in the ICU. Both numbers are the highest since Carle started publicly reporting their data. A group of migrant farm workers is suffering ongoing health problems after being sprayed with pesticides in a central Illinois cornfield last year. As Illinois Newsroom's Dana Cronin reports, that's according to a lawsuit filed on behalf of the workers last week.
The lawsuit was filed by three legal aid organizations, including Legal Aid Chicago. It alleges the farm workers were clearly visible, dressed in neon hats and backpacks. They were allegedly doused in pesticides three times last year by agricultural aircraft. Lisa Palumbo is a director with Legal Aid Chicago. She says there are clear federal guidelines in place for employers to prevent pesticide exposure.
Have enough decontamination supplies, get medical attention immediately, or transport them to a medical facility.
Instead, she says Pioneer, the Iowa-based employer, sent the workers back into the field. According to the lawsuit, workers have suffered short and long-term health effects, including trouble seeing and breathing. Corteva Agriscience, Pioneer's parent company, disputed the allegations in a statement obtained by the Associated Press. I'm Dana Cronin, Illinois Newsroom.
Still to come, pregnancy during the pandemic has not gone as planned for many mothers. We'll hear from researchers collecting pandemic birth stories from across the country. That's next on 217 Today.
IllinoisNewsroom.org is your source for news about education, the environment, health, politics, and more from WILL. Now you can receive our stories directly in your inbox. Sign up for our weekly newsletter at IllinoisNewsroom.org for stories you can't find anywhere else in Central Illinois. Another service from WILL, your source for quality, trusted journalism.
This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. For many mothers giving birth during the pandemic, pregnancy has not gone as planned. To learn about these experiences, a pair of researchers is collecting pandemic birth stories from across the country. As Side Effects Public Media's Darian Benson reports, the stories include both challenges and joys.
Maria Brand and Jennifer Bue are communication professors at Indiana University, Purdue University, Indianapolis. They're collecting the stories of women who have given birth during the pandemic.
We wanted to find out what kind of effect giving birth in a pandemic had on women's experiences and their relationships with other people and their social networks.
Brand and Bue use focus groups to gather the stories, inviting women from across the country to take part. Brand says the women share what it's like to be a new mom. The researchers even came up with a term to describe the stories: mother wisdom.
And so what this is really an opportunity for women to learn from each other and to empower each other through this unique yet shared experience.
Catherine Ingebretson gave birth to her second child in May.
In March, when everything went on lockdown, it became really nerve-wracking to not really understand what that meant for any of us, for our safety, for our labor and delivery experience, for what the rest of my prenatal care would look like, for what our postpartum time would look like. It was just, nobody had any answers.
She says she joined the focus group to connect with other moms who gave birth during the pandemic.
It was my one opportunity to talk to people who had done what I had just done.
Like going to doctor's appointments alone and grocery shopping at a time pregnancy was considered high risk. Then, quiet.
Typically, when you have a baby, people come in all the time, they check you all the time, the pediatrician comes in, the person who tests his hearing comes in, the person who has to give them the whatever check, you know, the whole thing. And just none of that happened because of COVID. It was just very, very, very calm and quiet and peaceful. And it was just me and my husband and this shiny baby.
She says that was the best part about giving birth during the pandemic.
The world stopped around us, and it was exactly what should happen when a baby is born. The world should stop around you, and you should just focus on your people.
For other moms, not having the extra support was hard.
Your support system can't come in your house. And not that they can't come in. Did you get tested? Have you been wearing a mask? Were you isolating? You know, have you stayed home this whole time? I couldn't emotionally put my baby in danger.
That's Lateva Wolfork. A mother of six, she gave birth to her youngest in July.
Feeling isolated is huge. And when you're with a baby 24/7, especially a breastfeeding mom, you can quickly go into a space that is negative. Dealing with that emotion and feeling even more alone during the pandemic was a little bit daunting. You know, I felt like postpartum depression was going to, you know, come get me around every corner.
Bue says the focus groups allowed the mothers like Wolfark and Ingebretson to support each other.
I think one surprising finding is that some women in our focus groups were really open about some of their mental health struggles. Sometimes that's a difficult topic for people to talk about because there tends to be a lot of stigma associated with that.
Wolfark definitely took strength from the focus group.
It's beautiful to connect with other women, other moms, to know other people have the same struggles that you have. The more information we get out into the world, the more we help each other.
Bue and Brand hope their findings will help mothers feel empowered to advocate for themselves and their babies when it comes to healthcare. From Side Effects Public Media, I'm Darian Benson.
And finally, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says rain is on the way by tonight, but we'll see some morning sunshine today with a high of 57 degrees. That's it for today. 217 Today is produced by Olivia Butts. Reporting today contributed by Hannah Meisel, Dana Cronin, and Darian Benson. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Brian Moline. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you again on Monday. Have a good weekend.